Come a bit closer.
Okay.
Okay, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Tom, you are Mr. Haringey Borough. And this is a big game, although last season you got to the first round proper, so no real pressure, I guess, ahead of this game with Yeovil.
No, I mean, 2 years in a row, it will be a phenomenal achievement for this football club. Who knows? The ball's round, as they say. There's always a chance, but we've got to be realistic as well. And Yeovil flying at the moment, they're full-time, they're a professional side. We're a non-league club. I wish if we could train every day like them, and then there'd be a bigger chance.
On the bare stats, your team have yet to concede a goal in this season's competition. They've played three rounds and won three fairly comfortably. How much of a chance do you give your side against Yeovil on Saturday?
There's always a chance. Turning that into a percentage, I wouldn't know how to. But there's a very good chance we can beat them if we turn up on the day. Doing my homework on Yeovil at the moment and trying to give the players as much help as I can and the coaching staff. And there's always a chance.
There's two managers in manager on White Hart Lane. The other one's under a bit of pressure right now. A lot of pressure. How much pressure are you under?
I'm under no pressure. From my surroundings, that is. But I'm under as much pressure as he is, the pressure we put on ourselves. I feel sorry for him, to tell you the truth, because I've looked at his interviews and he seems like he's aged this year, and that's how management gets us. People, what they've got to understand is it's not the pressure everyone puts on us, media, fans, chairman. We put ourselves under immense pressure ourselves. I'll say that for the genuine ones who want to do well in this work.
Now, we're sitting in a room here. You're selling tickets for the game on Saturday. You're getting the team ready for Saturday. But we're sitting on a sofa whereby, it's no exaggeration to say, earlier this year you could have died.
Yeah. Last February, I think it was about a week after Valentine's it was, I had something to eat. I finished my job in the morning. I had sat down and had something to eat. Started feeling ill. So I got in my car. I phoned my girlfriend. I said, I'm on my way home. I don't feel well. Get home as quickly as you can. I got home. I sat on the settee. I put my phone down next to me. The phone was about 6 inches away. And I just started fighting for my life, basically. I was screaming and shouting just to keep myself alive. My girlfriend turned up after 20 minutes. She phoned the paramedics. And within 5 minutes, the first one was there. As soon as I saw the paramedic, I just gave up. I was so tired. The only way I could describe it is if you're on a ship and someone throws you overboard and they just tell you to swim if you want to get to safety.
In terms of that, I mean, that brings home everything. I mean, it makes Saturday's game irrelevant, really. The fact you're here, the fact you're now healthy.
It does for about 5 minutes, you know. It's the job what keeps me alive is probably the job what's going to kill me in the end. I've made a full recovery. As a matter of fact, I had the heart problem on a Wednesday. I missed Saturday's game and I was back in the dugout Saturday after. Apparently, I've got a healthy heart. It was just the electrics. Unfortunately, I'm going to mention him. Justin Edinburgh weren't as lucky as I was. And that hit me more than me having a heart attack myself or heart failure, whatever you want to call it.
Because Justin actually sent you a get well message.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks after I had a phone call from Justin because we played him in the trophy, I think, a few months before. And he wished me all the best. And I just reminded him, he's young. We're in a dangerous sport when it comes to stress levels. And look after yourselves. They were the last words from me to Justin, and it really hit home what happened to him, and I can't describe how I felt at the time when I heard the tragic news about Justin.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, it is worth it. What can you do? Were you going to sit at home, die in front of the telly or in the back garden? I think it's the adrenaline what keeps you alive. And it certainly kept me alive because while I was in that dugout, I felt fine. It was after. For a whole year, I felt ill, kept going to the doctor. He kept giving me inhalers. It wasn't an inhaler, it was my heart. And it was only the messaging from the bottom of my heart to the top of my heart, which failed. But it's a way of life for me. It's a hobby for me. The missus hates it. So, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Do you tell your players this? I mean, do they know how much this means to you? Almost as much as life and death itself.
If it was players of 20 years ago, yes. This day and age, you can't. They're not built like them players in the past, like your Roy Keynes, your Scholeses and Graham Souness, my favourite players. I'll even mention Brian Talbot, an old favourite of mine. But you can't mention it to these players this day and age. They're made out of glass, the majority of them. That's why I'm very selective of the players I bring here and how I do things here. And even the people what surround me. I was in the pro game. I hated every minute of it. I've come and built, with the chairman, a football club here. And I've built my own environment here. I live 20 minutes away from the ground. And I love coming to work every day. I say every day. I'm here every night as well.
I know what a great community club this is. And we share friends who support and back this club. What would it mean to get to the first round again on Saturday and causing what will be probably, I mean, you're in the seventh tier there, in the fifth tier, you know, the biggest shock of the round probably.
It mean everything. It's just seeing the smiles on the people we've got here, and the day-to-day person in the street. Everyone knows Haringey Borough now. Just to see their smiles and getting an acknowledgement, that's all I want. And put a smile on people's faces. You know, we've got supporters here. There's a family who will come and watch us, and they don't get to talk to people, see anyone during the week. This is their youth club, their little bit of community support here, and it's love to see the smile on them play on the faces of them people. And I'm talking about people in their 80s, even 90s, and then there's even mothers with pushing pushchairs with a baby strapped to her back, one in a pushchair, one holding it, and they're dancing in the aisles. You know, it just means so much to this local community. Where I think we're basically one of the only football clubs where we give back something to the community. All the other football clubs rely on the community. We don't. We try to give something back.
And you're still the only team that play on White Hart Lane, despite the fact Spurs now have that stadium, which is... Yeah. What, it's not even a mile from here, is it?
No, that's right. I think they need to change their songs, don't they? We are the only club, the only senior club in White Hart Lane. It's nice. It's nice. There's not too much I could say about Spurs down the road at the moment. They're not going too well, but it happens in football. Me and Mr. Pochettino, we live in two different worlds, but work a mile apart. I wish him all the best. And I'm pretty sure he will turn things round. He just has to stay strong and believe in himself.
Would you ever swap place with him?
I don't think I could. I don't think I want to. I'm happy where I am, and sometimes in life, you got to be happy with what you've got.